right, you have your Bible open to Philippians chapter 1 this morning. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians is all about a joyful church. We want to be a joyful church. We want to be joyful Christians. And Philippians is full of messages about a joyful church. Today I want to talk to you about a joyful church's focus. What is the focus of a joyful church? In verse 12, the Apostle Paul said, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." He says the things that happened in my life have fallen out or occurred in order to further the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. The things that happen in our lives are for one main purpose, the furtherance of the gospel. When we woke up this morning, the reason that God allowed us to wake up this morning was one main purpose, the furtherance of the gospel. The reason that we have a job is for the furtherance of the gospel. The reason that we have different possessions like a house or a car, the clothes on our back, is for the furtherance of the gospel. Paul says, the things which have happened unto me, the things that have happened throughout my life have happened for one main purpose, the furtherance of the gospel. Now, if we'll keep this focus, if we'll make that a focus for our own lives and for our church, we will have the joy of the Lord. Look down at verse 18. The Bible says there, "What then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice." We will have great rejoicing. We will become joyful Christians, and we will have a joyful church if we keep our focus, the furtherance of the gospel. The furtherance of the gospel. Well, how is the gospel furthered? Look down with me at verse number 13. And here we see the Lord says to the Apostle Paul, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." Bonds. Bonds. We don't use that word too much. Nowadays, when people go to jail or prison, it's kind of like a resort, especially the prison. You know, they watch TV, work out in the weight room, go to the jogging track. I don't know if they have a sauna in there or something for it. I don't know. But sometimes you wonder how rough it is in the prisons nowadays. Of course, let me tell you, if you're thinking about going to prison, the roughness is you don't have your freedom. And prison is still prison, no matter how nice they try to make it for them in there. You don't have your freedom. However, in Paul's days, it was not nearly as nice. Okay, they had bonds. That would be the chains on his arms. And he's not a dangerous criminal, and yet they put him in bonds. They put him in stocks. They put him in chains during that time. And in verse 13, he says that my bonds in Christ are manifest or shown in all the palace and in all other places. Number one, the gospel is furthered by bonds. By bonds. Now, bonds for the Apostle Paul were stocks and chains. Bonds for us might be trials. Did you realize that the trials that you go through in your life have a number of purposes? Often we talk about the purpose to make us better. You know, the trials make us better. And that is a purpose. But the main purpose discussed here, the trials in our lives are to help further the gospel. The problems that I'm facing, the things that I'm going through every day in your walk of life, the things that you go through, are so that the gospel of Christ can be furthered. That's the way the Apostle Paul looked at it, and that's why he had joy. That's why he could rejoice, because he looked at his bonds as a way to further the gospel of Christ. We have evidence in the book of Romans that many of the soldiers that had to keep an eye on the Apostle Paul became Christians. and got saved because of Paul's testimony. In those days, it wasn't uncommon for the prisoner to be chained to the Roman soldier. And the Roman soldiers would take turns, you know. My shift is up, Joe. Come on in, George, your shift. You take over. Okay, now you're chained to Paul for a while. And Paul's thinking, okay, I got 4 hours with this guy. I'm going to tell him the good news of Jesus Christ. And captive audience, he can't get away, you know. And then his shift was up, and comes another soldier. Paul told another one. In the book of Romans, at the end, he lists out a number of people that are sending greetings to the other Christians from Rome. And some of them look like Roman names, like perhaps they were Roman soldiers who trusted Christ as Savior. And Paul looked at his bonds. Hey, this is a chance to further the gospel. Instead of getting all depressed and down and discouraged, I'm going to use my bonds as a chance to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. Notice it says in verse 13 that his bonds were manifest or shown in the palace. The palace. This perhaps was the place of trial. The place where he was put on trial and said, you're going to be sent to prison. Perhaps it took place right there in the palace. The place of trial. Folks, the very place in which you are going through a trial can be the very place where the gospel is furthered. The very place where you are going through some of the most trying times in your life can be the very place where people are won to Christ. I read an article recently about a lady who was at her husband's funeral. And after the funeral, during the social time, you know, the dinner or whatever, she was able to lead seven people to Christ during her husband's funeral service. Incredible. The very place of our trial can be the place that God uses to further the gospel. Not only the place of the trial, but think about this. The palace is also the place where the perpetrators of the trial were. Paul could have got mad. I can't believe this kangaroo court throwing me into prison. All I was doing was telling the good news of Jesus Christ. Why don't they go get some real criminals? Why don't they arrest them? And he could have had bitterness and hatred toward the people who put him in prison there at the palace. But no, the very perpetrators, the very rulers who put him in prison were the ones with whom the gospel was being furthered. Hey, folks, let's apply that to our lives. The very trials that we're going through, not only the place of the trial, but the perpetrator of that trial, the person who's doing it to us, maybe the boss who's mistreating you at work because you're a Christian. Maybe some other type of trial you're going through. The very one who's causing that trial could be the one that God wants to get through to. Don't get mad at that person. Don't get bitter. Don't lose your testimony before that person because God's trying to get through to them. The perpetrators of the trial, right there in the palace, he says, Jesus Christ is being revealed, the gospel being furthered. Right here in the palace. The place of the trial, the perpetrators of the trial. And then when I think of the palace, I think of people of affluence. Okay, the palace, that's the royalty. That's the rich people. Some of you noticed the royalty in England has been in the news this week. And did you hear about what happened? The rioters attacked the very car where the... is it the prince, Prince Charles, and his fiance or new wife? Are they married now? Okay, his new wife was there. I don't keep up with all that stuff. You know, it's, all the tabloids have it all in there, too. But I heard on the radio that apparently some rioter somehow got a stick wedged in through the window and actually poked it, poked the new princess a little bit with a stick. So you can imagine how afraid they must have been. You know, royalty carries its own set of problems, doesn't it? Sometimes we look at people like that and say, oh, man, I wish I were rich like that. Well, along with the riches comes along a lot of the sets of the same problems that maybe you don't want to have. Somebody was just telling me this morning, LeBron James bought a new house in Miami for, I don't know, a couple million, something like that, for his new house in Miami. And they said, man, one of our real estate people said, wish our real estate person could have been his real estate person. Think of all the... cut that the real estate agent gets, you know, off of that house. But, you know, I told that person, I said, you know what, money's overrated. Money is overrated. And, you know, we think, if I had this much money, I'd be happy. If I, no, people of affluence, people of riches, are sometimes some of the saddest people. Because here they've gotten everything they wanted to get and attain, and they're still not happy. And you'll read about suicides that take place in affluent homes just as much as in poverty, maybe even more. You'll hear about superstars in athletics or sports or music who have attained riches and a level of popularity that we'll never attain. And many of them end their life in suicide. Folks, riches do not satisfy. And when we're going through trials, sometimes that's to help us reach people like that. You know, when you go house to house and tell people about Jesus, and you get into a really nice neighborhood, this is just the truth of it. In the nice neighborhood, they don't want to listen. When I was with teenagers in Michigan, if we were on a trip somewhere for a week or so, and we had an afternoon to go out and witness and tell people about Christ, and I was only going to be in that town for, you know, that week, I would try to find the roughest neighborhood to go to. Now, not if it was inner city, I wouldn't go to the roughest because their parents would be mad at me for taking them to a really rough area. But I would try to find one of the rougher areas of that area to witness, because those people know we need the Lord. We need the Lord. Sometimes people of affluence are deceived, and they think we don't really need God very much. Now, they still need the Lord, and we still need to go and talk to them. But did you ever get frustrated trying to get through to them? They don't want to listen. They're not interested. Well, guess what happens? Trials can make people of affluence interested. Sometimes it's even trials in your life and in mine. And when they see us going through that trial and having the joy of the Lord, and they're thinking, some of my relatives are rich and they went through these trials and it about killed them. And this guy, look at him, he's got the joy of the Lord. That's what these people in the palace saw in the Apostle Paul. Paul was known to sing in prison, wasn't he? And they saw the joy of the Lord in him. And Paul says, my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. We're getting through to some people of affluence because of the trials that I'm going through. So don't get discouraged by those trials. Don't get down. Don't think, Lord, why am I going through this? No, just thank God for it. And say, Lord, you're going to use this in a special way. You're going to get through to somebody that maybe couldn't be reached any other way. If you'll just give me the grace, Lord, to bear up under this trial and to bear it patiently and for your glory. Look down again at verse 13. His bonds in Christ were manifest in all the palace, but also in all other places. In all other places. You know, there's no place on this planet where the gospel is not appropriate. Somebody says, well, it's not really appropriate to witness right here. Hey, I think it's appropriate. In all other places. There's not a place where the gospel is not appropriate. And you know what? You're going to be used in your testimony and in your trials in places that you never dreamed possible. Because here, Paul's bonds were used not only in the palace, where people knew about it, but it was used in all other places. Words started getting around. Apostle Paul, he's in prison, but he's still happy. Yeah, and he's still witnessing for Christ. They couldn't shut him up. And it started getting around. And guess what? His bonds were used not only in the palace, but in all other places. Folks, if you will bear up under the bonds and say, Lord, just use this to further the gospel, your testimony will have a wide-reaching effect. You will reach people that you never dreamed you could reach. It will be manifest in all other places. You'll be surprised. You say, little old me? Yeah, God allows you to go through the trial to widen your influence, to enlarge your coast, to give you more impact for the cause of Christ. And that's why we go through some trials. That's why Paul went through them. So don't buck under the trial. Oh, it's not wrong to say, Lord, can you remove the trial? It's not wrong to pray for that. But while you're going through it, pray this also. Lord, further the gospel. further the good news of Jesus Christ. Let it be known to other people because of the trial I'm going through. So number one, the gospel was furthered by bonds. Number two, in this passage we see the gospel is furthered by believers. Furthered by believers or by brethren. Look down to verse number 14. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Here we see the gospel is furthered by believers. In verse 14, it's furthered with boldness. Did you catch that? Verse 14, many of the brethren in the Lord waxing confident by my bonds. Okay, what made these brethren confident? Paul's bonds. You see, him going through the trial caused other believers to say, you know what? Look, the Lord's giving him grace. He's making it through. It's rough, but he's still happy. I'm going to witness. If they throw me in prison, so be it. The Lord's helping Paul. He's going to help me. And they waxed confident, or they became confident because of Paul's bonds. You know, we need some confidence in our witness. If you lack confidence, look at somebody who's going through a trial. That's the easy way. The hard way is for you to go through a trial yourself. But somehow the Lord wants to give you confidence to witness. And I don't know about you, I'd like to learn the easy way. I'd like to look at somebody else's trial, like the Apostle Paul's, and say, okay, I'm going to be bold. He was bold, I could be bold. I don't want to have to go through my own trial in order to get boldness. But they wax confident by his bonds. Hey, listen, there's a confidence when you know you're right. When you know you're right. When you know, this is the answer. We've got the answer for people's souls. There's a confidence in that. And these people, maybe they were a little bit bashful about witnessing, but when they saw Paul willing to stand up for the gospel and not relent, even if it means getting thrown into prison, that gave them boldness. They waxed confident by his bonds. Look further in verse 14. It says they are much more bold to speak. Much more bold. You know, you can become much more bold when you are backed by your authority. Now, with the gospel, we have the authority of the Lord. But think about boldness. Think about in a workplace. Maybe someone works in a factory, and they see that on the assembly line, things could be done more efficiently if this guy would do this instead or do something a little bit differently. So maybe he goes up to the guy and he says, you know, Frank, if you did this a little differently, you could probably be a little more efficient here. Oh, I'll get out of here. I've been doing this for years. Oh, okay, Frank, whatever you say. And he doesn't listen. Okay? And you're a little sheepish about telling him, oh, I probably shouldn't have told him. But watch this. If the boss calls you in and says, hey, I want you to go down there and tell Frank he needs to start doing this the other way. Well, now you've got the authority behind you. And so you go walking right down there and you say, hey, Frank, hey, listen, this is from the boss. He wants you to start doing this the other way. It'll be more efficient. Now do it the other way. I've been doing this way for years. I know, Frank, but the boss said, okay. Because now you can go with boldness because you've got the authority behind you. Now watch. They saw the Apostle Paul's in prison. He's going through trial, but God's holding him up. God is our authority. When the Lord Jesus gave the Great Commission in Matthew 28, verse 18, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all. All power is given. I've got all power, all authority. It's mine. You are authorized by me to now go give the gospel. Somebody one time said to me, well, what business is it of yours to be going around telling people how to be saved? Why do you think that's your business? Because God told me to. God said, he's got all power, all authority. What right do you have? He gave us the right. He gave us the command. He said, all power is mine. Go ye therefore and teach. You know what other thing I told that person? Is the right of love. I care about you. Think about how bad it would be for someone to have told me how to avoid hell and receive Jesus as my Savior and have the blessing of the Christian life, and then me not to tell you about it. It would be like if your house was on fire and I just walked by and didn't bother waking you up. That would be pretty wicked, wouldn't it? But we can have boldness because we have the authority. God has given us that authority to tell other people, so we can share the gospel with boldness and become much more bold. And then the end of the verse says, they would speak the word without fear. Speak the word without fear. Wouldn't it be great to get to that point where we could speak the word without fear? I still get a little bit scared, I admit it. When I go up to somebody and get ready to talk to them about the Lord, I get a little bit afraid. But when you behold the trials of others and you see God sustaining them, and when you go through bonds and trials yourself, God will enable you and give you that boldness. And we can get to the point where, hey, I don't care if I'm afraid. I'm going to speak the word without fear. I'm going to speak it anyway. I'm going to say what needs to be said because I care about this person. And I care about their soul. And these people were able to speak the word without fear. So the gospel is furthered by believers with boldness. And then letter B, with motives. With motives. Perhaps as Dick read the scripture this morning, you noticed the emphasis on motives in this passage. And then as he led in prayer, he prayed about that. So I know he noticed it as he read. But let's look again at the emphasis on motives and learn something here. In verse 15, it says, some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some of contention. Envy, envy. Is it possible to preach Christ out of envy? You know, it is, because they did it here. They were envious, perhaps, of other soul winners. That's not a right motive, is it? Well, man, they got to win somebody to Christ. Boy, the preacher's going to like them because they won somebody to Christ. I need to win somebody to Christ, too. And they do it out of envy. Well, that's not the right motive to try to witness to people because we envy someone. Maybe someone gets recognized, you know, hey, their Sunday school class grew from 10 people to 40 people. Let's praise the Lord for that. And so we praise the Lord for it. But you think, man, boy, if I could win some people to Christ, maybe I could get some honor. And we envy what was happening there. See, envy is not a good motive. Now, Paul didn't care. He said, I'm just glad that Christ is being preached. He didn't care. See, we don't have to answer for other people's motives. Aren't you glad about that? We don't have to answer for why somebody else did it. We could just rejoice in it, and that's what Paul did. But envy would not be a good motive. It says some preach Christ of strife. Now, this word strife means bitter disagreement. Bitter disagreement. Did you know that a godly soul winner will be disliked sometimes? Sometimes there'll be criticism, maybe even from Christian brethren, who say, maybe they say, well, he's just doing it because he wants the preacher to like him, or he's just doing that, you know, so people will think he's Mr. Joe Holy or something. Hey, listen, there might be criticism of someone who's a soul winner. That's what this word strife means, bitter disagreement. And there are some people, I don't like Paul. Man, he's going to get us all thrown in prison if he keeps witnessing like that. So-and-so is going to give a bad name to Bethel Baptist Church if he keeps telling people about Christ. Well, wait a minute. That's why the church is here, as a gospel lighthouse, to share the good news and tell people. If you're sharing the gospel, expect there to be some strife. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Okay, if you're witnessing for Christ like you ought, there'll be somebody who doesn't like it. That's just the way it is. Some preach Christ of strife. They had bitter disagreements with Paul. They didn't like Paul. And it says in this passage that they thought, well, you know what? We'll just go and preach Christ, and maybe they'll persecute Paul even more. We'll really get Paul. Maybe they'll whip him a couple more times if we keep preaching Christ. What a wicked motive that they had. Some preach Christ of contention, the Bible says. This word contention includes the idea of advancing oneself. contention, like, I want to advance myself. I want to be more famous than Paul. And so I'm going to go around. He's in jail. He can't preach anymore. I'm going to go around. I want to try to be more famous than Paul. And they were preaching Christ with a wrong motive, out of contention. Paul didn't concern himself with the motives of others. Aren't you glad we don't have to worry about somebody else's motives? Don't fall into that trap of saying, well, you know, they go out soul winning, but I know why they do it. Don't judge somebody else's motives. Matter of fact, when Jesus said in Matthew 7, judge not that ye be not judged, he was talking about motives. Don't judge other people's motives. We don't know what's in people's hearts. You say, well, we shouldn't judge people at all. The Bible says, he that is spiritual judgeth all things. So we can judge things, but we can't judge motives. We can't judge. We don't know what's in somebody's heart. So Paul, he didn't judge them. He didn't say, oh, yeah, they're wrong for doing that. No, he said, I'm going to rejoice in the fact that Christ is preached. Even if they're preaching him for the wrong motives, I'm just going to rejoice in the fact that Christ is preached. You see, we're not responsible for other people. We need to judge ourselves. The Bible says, judge yourself, lest ye be judged. So we need to judge ourselves. We need to look in our own hearts to make sure our motives are right. What should be the right motive? It's revealed for us right in the next verse. Verse 17. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. He said, some people are preaching Christ of envy and strife and contention, but some people are preaching Christ out of love. Godly love. The word here is agape. It's godly love. It's the form of love like God had. God so loved the world that He gave. It's a sacrificing love. And some people were sacrificing of themselves to preach the gospel. They said, even if we get thrown in prison, we're going to preach. They perhaps sacrificed their time. They sacrificed their effort. They sacrificed their resources to preach the gospel. They preach the gospel of love. Folks, if we're going to share the gospel, if you're going to share the gospel, you've got to sacrifice some time, some effort, some resources, some gasoline money to go and give the gospel. And that's what giving the gospel out of love is all about. You know, I praise the Lord for some of you at Bethel Baptist Church. Here, we've been soul winning since I've come. You were soul winning before that, but since I've come in January, we've been soul winning. And I've never heard anybody complain about, oh man, it's a lot of gas money to drive over here or drive over there or go visit so and so. I never heard any complaints about gas. All right, praise the Lord for it. Now, if gas is a hardship, I'd like to help you out with it. So you can let me know without complaining. But praise the Lord, we haven't heard any complaints. People willing to give of themselves to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul said, some people are doing that. There are some people who are preaching Christ out of love. And they have the right motive. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Love is the right motive. It's the constraining thing. It's the thing that motivates us to do what we need to do in sharing the gospel. Well, we come down to verse 17. And after he talks about this motive of love, the Apostle Paul says, I am set for the defense of the gospel. That word set has the idea of being laid down, even buried. In other words, I am set in this. I'm laid down right here. I'm not going to be moved. It's almost like I'm buried in it. You know, a buried man doesn't get moved very often, okay? Once he's buried, he's there to stay. And he says, I am set for the defense of the gospel. When it comes to this, preaching the gospel, sharing the gospel, defending the gospel, I'm set. I'm set. I shall not be moved. Oh, may Bethel Baptist Church never move from our mission to spread the gospel and disciple believers. May it be said, as in verse 18, that Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. That from this pulpit, Christ is preached. In every sermon, Christ is preached. In every Sunday school class, from the little toddlers all the way up to the senior saints, that Christ be preached. In every neighborhood throughout Northport, and there's a lot of neighborhoods, in every neighborhood throughout Northport, may Christ be preached. In the palace and in all other places. In the palace. We don't have to be bashful in City Hall over here. Okay, in the palace and in all other places, whether it be a trailer park with rundown homes or the big fancy homes as you get near the beaches, may Christ be preached. May Christ be preached. Whether it be in bonds or in blessings, may Christ be preached. Because verse 18 says, therein we'll rejoice. You'll have a joyful Christian life. We'll have a joyful church. We won't be upset about petty things like so-and-so said such and such, or so-and-so didn't shake my hand, or they walked out with saying hi. All that stuff becomes so petty when we're focused on furthering the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everything else becomes small, and we rejoice, and we have the joy of the Lord.